On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
You're listening to Arcan, the Christian Arcan Show on WEEI.
It's 8 o'clock here, WEEI. It's Christian Arcan Show. We're live in our Brighton studio, powered by Verizon. Nice to have you with us here tonight. And the time has arrived. Joining us right now on the hotline from ESPN, Jeff Passan joins us here on the program. Mr. Passan, how you doing tonight? Thanks so much for the time. We certainly appreciate it.
My pleasure, Christian. How are you?
I'm doing very well, and glad to have you here. I read your piece about three or four times today, and before we get into the nitty-gritty and the details of it, because there's lots of things I have questions about and would like your insight on, big picture here, would you say that the Red Sox are more screwed up, dysfunctional than your average MLB team? Is that a statement you'd agree with?
Yeah, but I don't think that, you know, I don't think the standard there is particularly like, depending if we're going, what direction we're going, high or low. There are plenty of screwed up Major League Baseball teams, and it's important to acknowledge there are things that the Boston Red Sox do very well, and I am actually like extremely bullish on them going forward. I think this is a team that over the next half decade is going to be in contention among the best teams in the American League because of the guys they've got. So, like, the sky isn't falling here. They just got some things to work out right now, and the way that those things manifest themselves wound up with Rafael Devers in a San Francisco Giants uniform.
Certainly did. The duality of the Craig Breslow experience so far is one that I'm interested in your take on as well, Jeff, because, as you know, obviously, this thing blew up in his face, but he had a tremendous offseason where he added a closer, he added a starter, he added an ace and a right-handed power bat and all these things. Craig Breslow is a pretty popular guy here for a couple of weeks, at least until the first day of spring training when Devers started complaining. But to see it go from that to this has got to be, in your experience anyway, one of the biggest turnarounds that's ever happened.
Here's how I look at it. The Red Sox might not have lost this trade. It is way, 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 way too early to suggest that Craig Breslow screwed the pooch by trading Rafael Devers. There are plenty of worlds in which James Tibbs becomes a productive big leaguer, in which Kyle Harrison joins the rotation and thrives, in which Rafael Devers at, 31, 32, 33 stops looking like the Rafael Devers that we see at 28 and becomes a pumpkin. So I don't think, like, when I initially saw the deal, I didn't think Boston absolutely sold this. Not at all. In fact, the first, like, five texts I got from executives were, I cannot believe that Breslow did that, in a positive way. And so, it's funny from my perspective, talking with executives, talking with people in baseball, and comparing what they believe to what fans believe. And I have to find, like, that place in between, because people inside of baseball are very myopic. They look at everything through a baseball-centric lens and not a rooting lens. And they look at things the same way that the analytical models that every team use looks at them, which is trying to be as impartial as possible. And if you strip the emotion out of this, if you take away all the feelings you have, good and bad, from Rafael Devers' tenure in Boston, you can absolutely make a case that this is a reasonable deal to have been made by the Boston Red Sox. But when you add the context back to it, the fact that he's been in the organization since he was 16 years old, the fact that he's the last remaining guy from the 2018 championship team, the fact that you have him locked into a deal that, compared to Vladimir Guerrero, compared to Juan Soto, compared even to Bryce Harper, actually looks kind of good. All those things, it's like, I try not to make snap judgments, but I know that's not how fans operate, nor should they. So, you know, this story was an attempt to not just bring some perspective to this, but to really try and hammer down the facts of what actually happened.
Now, you mentioned other executives, and you had a great line. You had a lot of great lines, but the line I loved the most was about how the Red Sox are a big market team through a funhouse mirror, basically. They're what? Big market team, if you really distorted everything, and it's not what they should be or could be. And when you talk about those other executives, I think of other executives and other teams. There's lots of executives who aren't really as obsessed with saving that kind of money, you know? Like, it just seems like there's other teams out there, and the Red Sox often lose out to free agents with them in the offseason, but there's executives out there who don't prioritize this type of thing or this type of trade or think that this type of trade would be a positive one. And I think that speaks in some way to the haves and the have-nots in the league. Would you agree with that?
No, I think it's more ownership than executives.
Okay.
I think every executive wants the most money he or she can have to go out and spend. I'll say this. There are some executives who really enjoy the idea of finding value and of squeezing value out of whether it's a guy who they think is better than the rest of the market or something like Carlos Narvaez, where nobody coming into this season, like, how many Red Sox fans knew who Carlos Narvaez was coming into the year? Like, Connor Wong was the catcher. That's what it was.
Right.
And to see Carlos Narvaez jump into the cleanup spot of the Boston Red Sox, it's an unbelievable story and a phenomenal job of value finding by Craig Breslow. Like, he deserves a lot of credit, and the organization deserves a lot of credit for that. But I think by and large, if you have a choice between money and less money, everyone's taking money. Because what money does is it buys you margin for error. It allows you to make mistakes. And, despite those mistakes, you can go out and paper them over with something else. And that's not a leisure that, the Kansas City Royals have, or the Tampa Bay Rays have, or the Milwaukee Brewers have. And where I think the biggest missed opportunity for the Red Sox is right now, we've seen this with the Dodgers. We've seen this with the Mets. We've seen this with the Yankees, Christian, and we have seen it in the past with the Boston Red Sox. In an uncapped sport like Major League Baseball, perhaps the greatest advantage is the payroll advantage that large market teams have. And for the Boston Red Sox not to be utilizing that and leveraging that in every way possible is just giving away the biggest advantage that they have.
We're talking with Jeff Passan from ESPN, joining us here on the Christian Arcan Show. Jeff, in your piece, you mentioned that Alex Cora was not against this trade. Cora was one who very openly wanted Bregman on the team. He coached him in Houston, and finding out that he was not against the trade and that he was part of the push to get Bregman here, it makes me wonder how adamantly he was not against the trade, and was that an attitude that maybe evolved over time?
Yeah, I think it did evolve over time. He was perfectly fine with this trade happening. And I think it was a consequence of Rafael Devers. And I'm not going to look at Rafael Devers in this situation as somebody who's a complete innocent. He was not. There's an expectation that inside a clubhouse, teammates have of one another, right? And he was not meeting that expectation. The expectation is you're going to do everything you can so we can win baseball games. And he didn't, right? Like, now, I understand why he was as aggrieved as he was, because the communication from the Red Sox stunk. Like, they dropped the ball on that. It's something that Craig Breslow has admitted. But at the same time, you know, I think Rafael Devers could have done more. And you can argue fairly should have done more, but chose not to. And that to me is where Alex Cora comes into this situation. Like, if there are problems in the clubhouse, that's on the manager to fix them.
Yeah.
Certainly. And Alex Cora was not able to do that here. And because of that, I think everybody wound up getting to the point where it's like, okay, well, if AC can't fix it, maybe we're past the point of no return.
Is it customary, Jeff, for a team to – I know it doesn't happen very often where they pull the guy off the team plane, but when that happens, is it customary to put him in a cab and send him back to Fenway? That seemed like a message to me. Like, wouldn't there be some kind of car service or something? Like, it seems – you know, like, I read that detail, and I thought, oh, that's interesting. They put him in a cab at Logan Airport. That seems very impersonal.
Dude, I love Boston Radio. You guys are the best. No, I'm serious. Who cares what car he's in? Like, really? Is that what we're going to do here? Do you really think that it was insulting to ride a cab?
Yes. You don't think that would be, that's not often, I would think, how they transport their players around, especially when they're at the airport. Wouldn't there be some service or something? I don't think that's a crazy question.
I think that Rafael Devers, after his life literally got flipped upside down, probably wanted to get back to Fenway as quickly as he could and get out of there.
Okay, fair enough. Let me ask you this then: if the team,
I get your point there, but if we're like adjudicating the ride that he's being given, like, there are so many bigger issues with the Red Sox right now,
certainly,
than him being in a Toyota Camry versus a Lincoln Town Car.
Sure, I think it spoke more, not the actual car they were in, but the attitude of the team towards, all right, well, find your old Reinhold, that kind of thing. But moving on anyway, do you believe, Jen, this is a bit of a hypothetical, but do you believe that if the team had been doing better around the time of that meeting in Kansas City, if they were five games over 500 and securely in a wild card spot, do you think there's a chance that the organization could have maybe been more tolerant of Devers' behavior?
I think that's a reasonable question, and I don't know the answer to that. You know, they were struggling then, and at the same time, though, like, Rafi Devers, pretty much from the beginning of April on, was like one of the best hitters in baseball, and was the guy who at times was carrying this team and helping them win baseball games. So, I think when they were in Kansas City, and John Henry flew in, and Sam Kennedy flew in, and Craig Breslow flew in, and you know that the three of them are they're not going to fly in if they don't think that they can convince him to do something. They're not going to waste their time if they feel like he's a lost cause. And they sat down with him, and I reported today, John Henry met with him for breakfast the next day, too. And over the courses of those conversations, that's when it's cemented in their minds that if this guy is not willing to do this, then we don't want him around. And I get that perspective. I get the, you know, you get kind of emotional and you're like, we're paying him $313.5 million and he can't do this? Really? He can't sacrifice for the team? And in a vacuum, it's a fair thing to say. But I think what they weren't accounting for was the context of all of these things. It was in spring training after through people in his inner circle, he had been told, if we sign Alex Bregman, we will let you know beforehand. Didn't happen. Getting to spring training when, you know, they're saying privately that Alex Bregman's going to play second baseman, gets to spring training and Alex Cora says, Rafi, we want you to move to DH. It was just slight after slight. And is that enough to cause a guy to essentially shut down and more or less defy what his employer is asking?
I mean, me personally, I probably would have played first base, but but maybe that just makes me a wuss. I don't know. Like, Rafael Devers stood his ground, and this was something that was important to him, and he was not going to back down from it. But I think it was also something that the Boston Red Sox, through their behavior, earned.
Yeah, I'd certainly agree with that. You wrote that multiple high-ranking officials were overruled when it came to give Devers the extension in the first place, that there was a divide there. How deep was that divide? And it sounds like John Henry, he must have been the overruling vote because he's the big boss in charge. If there's a big split like that, John Henry then famously not really into giving out those type of contracts. Was that more of an optics thing? Like, we can't keep letting these players go and I finally have to put my foot down? Is that how that came about?
Yeah, I think there was some pragmatism there. Like, look at the crowds at Fenway. Look at the attendance year over year. Look at the ratings on Nesson. Look at, you know, we have built up something that's really special over the first 18 years of this century. Let's not screw it up. And nobody, you know, people in Boston celebrated the Devers extension.
Yeah.
Like, they thought this is the kid who's been with us since he was 16 years old, who grew up a Red Sox fan, who is the, you know, the embodiment of the modern Boston Red Sox. Like, through the lean years that have been the 2020s, Rafael Devers has been, if not the one guy, then one of the handful of guys who if you are a Red Sox fan, you can look at and say, I like that guy. He makes me feel good as a fan. I enjoy watching him. He cares. He plays hard. You know, he may have his warts, but he's ours. And, you know, throughout the early 2000s into the 2010s, there were a bunch of guys who were ours, and the Red Sox have lacked that. It's why Christian Campbell and Marcelo Meyer and Roman Anthony's arrival, I think, coalesced the fan base so much, because finally it's like we have more of guys who feel like ours. Cezanne Rafaela hasn't gotten there yet. Brian Bello hasn't gotten there yet. You know, the guys who have been extended by this team, they've been sort of secondary pieces, and you want those frontline guys. And that's what Rafael Devers was. He's a frontline guy. But at the end of the day, I think that the same mathematics that led front office officials to believe that Devers' contract was borderline untradeable unless the Red Sox were kicking in money, that wound up being a big part of this deal for the Red Sox to get rid of it.
All right. Jeff, before we let you go here, and again, I really appreciate the time tonight. I know you're traveling, and this is really, really nice of you to do. Replacing Rafael Devers at the trade deadline, is that something that Red Sox fans should be expecting? Is that something that's even at all realistic? I mean, you're not going to replace him completely, but how hard at the deadline do you think they're going to go to try and get back some of that production?
The $1 million, or rather $254 million question, because there is going to be no player as good as Rafael Devers available at the deadline. And I don't think there are going to be a combination of two or three players necessarily who can make up his production. Unless things change significantly, this deadline is going to be kind of boring, or at very least not have a whole lot of guys who, when you hear their names, like, even the casual fan's going to know them. If you just look at the impending free agents this offseason, almost all of the really good ones play for contenders. So then you're going to be looking for guys who have team control, you know, guys who have had two or three years in the big leagues. And those are the ones who every one of them is going to ask for: Myers, Campbell, Anthony, Garcia, Franklin Arias, the guys who the Red Sox just don't want to trade. So how they match up trying to add at the deadline is going to be super interesting to me. And I'm not going to judge the Red Sox based on how aggressive they are at this deadline. But I will say there will be some judgment in place for how they operate this winter, because there are a number of people out there who are going to be able to help the Red Sox in 2026. And, you know, Craig Breslow said in the news conference, and I'm paraphrasing him here, but I think we can win more games with this team that we have right now and some additions than we would have with Rafael Devers. I'd like to see it.
You and me both. That is the voice of Jeff Passan. Jeff, thanks so much for the time tonight. Certainly appreciated, and thanks for the all the great reporting here on this big, big story around our town here.
Don't slander Toyota Camrys, Christian.
Okay, I won't. That is Jeff Passan, noted Toyota Camry fan, joining us here in the Christian Arcan Show, talking about his report today in ESPN about all the behind-the-scenes drama that has overtaken this team regarding Rafael Devers here over the past month and even beyond that. Again, we thank Jeff Passan. If you missed any of that, you can go back and listen to it on the Odyssey app. It'll be up here in a few minutes. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. I see your phone calls lining up. I'll get to you right after Zach Coe. Get you caught up on what's trending.
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Red Sox open up a three-game set against Rafael Devers and the San Francisco Giants tonight. First pitch of Game 1 set for 10:15 Eastern. Hunter Dobbins getting the start for the Sox opposite Hayden Birdsong for the Giants. Devers is 3-for-11 with an RBI in his first three games as a Giant. You can hear coverage of that one right here on WEEI and across the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Christian Arcan has you covered on the Mass Mutual pregame show at 9:15. Then Will Fleming and Lou Maloney will have the call of the game. Again, first pitch at 10:15. Red Sox today sent rookie Christian Campbell down to AAA Worcester. With that roster spot, Sox activated outfielder Willier Abreu from the injured list. They also today traded left-handed pitcher Zach Penrod to the Los Angeles Dodgers in exchange for cash considerations. Penrod was DFA'd on Sunday as a result of the Rafael Devers trade. Over in the NBA Finals, the Pacers forcing a winner-go-home Game 7 with a 108-91 home win over the Thunder last night. Indiana had six players reach double digits in last night's Game 6. Game 7 set for Sunday night at 8 o'clock back in Oklahoma City. Earlier today, the Bruins announced that Steve Spott has been added to the team's coaching staff as an assistant. Spott spent the last three seasons as an assistant for the Dallas Stars, where he oversaw a Stars power play that had a 23.7% success rate over that time, ranking seventh in the NHL. Revolution are off this weekend. They'll host Nashville SC on Wednesday night at Gillette. And finally, LSU will take on Coastal Carolina in the Men's College World Series. That best of three series begins tomorrow. My name is Zach Cohen. That's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com. More Christian Arcan Show coming up after this.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Covering Boston sports and beyond, we're back to Christian Arcand on WEEI.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Fenway on what is a great day for the Boston Red Sox and in many ways a historic day for our organization. Just a few thank yous at the outset for making today possible. First and foremost, Rafi Devers. Rafi, thank you so much for everything you've done for our organization. Incredibly, you've been with us for about a decade, and you're going to be with us for a lot longer. And we are so appreciative of everything that you stand for. You represent all that is great about the Boston Red Sox.
That's tough. That goes on longer, right? I mean, that's like the whole thing. Brother, you represent everything that is good about the Boston Red Sox. It's a year later. I mean, you know, it's not like this fell apart over a 5-year span. It's not like you got halfway or even a third of the way through the contract and things started to unravel. We went from you represent everything that's good and right in the world to get the hell out of here and get in the cab. Yeah, pass and get in the cab and get the hell back to Fenway. You know, like that happened in a year.
Dude, I love Boston Radio. You guys are the best.
Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate that. This part from Passon's piece, I want to read it again, because that applies to what we just listened to. After carrying the highest payroll in the majors in 2018 and 2019, John Henry tightened the purse strings. And when Betts was shipped out in 2020, and longtime shortstop Xander Bogaerts followed him to sign as a free agent with San Diego, the restlessness of Red Sox fans hit overdrive. Save for a surprising run to the American League Championship Series in 2021, mediocrity had become the norm for the Red Sox. The days of Ortiz, Manny, and Pedro were 2 decades in the rearview mirror. Devers was their lone, homegrown, everyday player. He represented an opportunity for the Red Sox to illustrate that they remain dedicated to the now as much as the future. This is the part. Making moves to mollify restless fans is a hallmark of bad organizations. But with declining viewership on Nesson and empty seats at Fenway, ownership pushed to lock up Devers long term. Multiple high-ranking officials in the baseball ops department opposed the idea, and they were overruled. In January of 2023, Devers agreed to a 10-year, $313.5 million contract extension that would begin in 2024. So it's 2 years, technically, from when the deal was agreed to, and 1 year since it kicked in. Still, 2 years. 2 years ago. He was all that's right with the world. It was the largest commitment in franchise history, Passon writes. Executives around the game questioned the wisdom of the deal. Yes, Devers had grown into a consistently excellent hitter. And sure, in a market like Boston, where fandom is religion, placating the masses matters. But the question in their mind outweighed those factors. How soon would Devers need to move off third, where he was a below-average defender? How would his body, always squatty body, how would that age? How often did long-term contracts for one-dimensional players work out? Just because it was a deal that needed to happen didn't make it a good one. And I think that's an interesting perspective here and an interesting look at this whole thing. Because the Red Sox and Sam Kennedy and all them will have you believe that this was a foregone conclusion and that Rafael Devers was a no-brainer to lock up and that it was a great day when he agreed to the contract. And that it was all very organic and not at all a reaction to the reaction John Henry received at Fenway Winter Fan Fest, where he was booed mercilessly in the wake of the Mookie Betts trade. And then the year after that, I don't think Henry went that year, but that was the year that Bogaerts was gone, because I remember I interviewed Chaim Bloomberg at a Sunday on the Sunday of that weekend it was still in Springfield. It's at Fenway now, but it used to be up in Springfield. And I interviewed Bloom, and it was right after the Bogaerts thing, and there was a story that came out about how Bloom was at the airport and he saw that Bogaerts signed, and it was a whole, you know, dramatic scene. And it seemed like there was still some very, very real, very unresolved I don't want to say anger because it wasn't like an angry scene that we were at there. But it was angry when they all got into that theater and they were all sitting up there on the stage. And I think they brought in Carrabis to try and, you know, massage it a little bit. And the only person that didn't get booed was Alex Cora. I think Henry skipped it. I think that was the first one Henry didn't show up to. And he hasn't been since. But I do find it very interesting that John Henry, who didn't want to pay Mookie Betts, at the very least, you can say, well, at least he recognized that the fans were upset. At least he recognized that the paying customers were starting to get angry about what's going on in the direction of this team. And the Mookie Betts thing, that was such an inflection point because he represented the future. He represented the future of the Boston Red Sox, more so than Bogaerts, certainly. He was younger than Bogaerts, and definitely more so than Devers. Devers wasn't an MVP or an MVP candidate. Mookie Betts was an MVP at 23, 24 years old. He was a phenom. He was the type of guy that only the type of talent, type of player that you only see once in a generation on your team, if you're lucky. Mookie Betts getting traded would be like the Yankees trading Aaron Judge, and that almost happened. Yankees almost lost Judge. But they didn't, because they went the extra mile. They made the commitment. And that was a commitment the Red Sox were unwilling to make. And when they started to feel that backlash, they panicked. And even though the front office people, which, by the way, who are these executives telling them, I don't know, I don't think we should do this. I don't think we should sign Rafael Devers. We should let him walk, too, and just have everybody hate us for the rest of our lives. Right? We'll just be, everywhere we go, people are just going to be throwing tomatoes at us for all the time. No, Devers is gone now, so maybe you'll see that anyway. But, like, you know, that's what it's come to. And for John Henry, who I think deep down didn't want to sign Devers to that contract. He was probably with the executives, but looked at the numbers, looked at the empty seats at Fenway, which was pointed out by Passan in the story, looked at viewership on Nesson and, you know, whatever, and thought, holy hell, I may have crossed the line here. I may have crossed the Rubicon. I got to get these people back. And now, 2 years later, first chance he gets, see you later. I mean, listen, I'm not gonna act as though I know better than the people in charge. But I do think that there is, just in terms of the manic nature of this team and the way they make decisions and how quickly they can sort of turn on something. Dave Dombrowski got fired the year after they won. They didn't even finish the year. He got fired in the middle of 2019. They had won the World Series the year before. And they didn't just win the World Series. They were the best team of all time, the history of the team. And he didn't get another full season. I can see why there's, you know, maybe some hesitance on the part of some of these chief baseball officers, GMs, front office people. I see why there may be some reluctance to want to take this on. Seems like it can be a tough place. It can be a punishing place to work with the Red Sox. And just look at all the people who have been punished. And some of them got punished when they were winning. You know, it's an odd situation. I mean, that's pro sports. It's not just the Red Sox, but it does seem like it happens an awful lot with them, doesn't it? 617-779-7937. Let's go to Wally in Fall River. Hey, Wally.
Yeah, what's up? I mean, as far as Rafi, we got to move on, Christian. You can't do nothing about it. We're damned if we do. You know, it just happened, and that was it. But Jeff Passan, what the Red Sox got back was scrap, table scraps. I mean, I don't know what guys he's looking at, but you figured that the Red Sox would have got at least a major league player. Maybe their fourth or fifth starter would have been better than the four guys that they got. Please, let's be realistic. I don't think none of these guys are going to pan out. They'll probably be selling used cars in 3 years. But as far as Rafi, he's got a pudgy body. I mean, it's going to be a love fest in San Francisco, but we all have to realize he's going to a bigger ballpark. It's not friendly hitting Fenway Park. That place home runs die in center field, and that is a big ballpark. But
Yeah, Wally, I get what you're saying, and I agree, but I think that Devers splits outside of Fenway to paint a picture of a guy who wasn't just dependent on hitting at Fenway Park 81 games out of the year. I don't think that was ever Devers' thing. He's got pretty good splits on the road, too. As for the other part of what he had to say there about the return, I think Passan talking about the return in the way that he did is justifiable, and it's justifiable to speak on it as if, okay, well, you got yourself a major league pitcher, a quadruple A guy who's expected to be good, and a couple of guys from rookie ball. And if you were a small market team and you had Rafael Devers and you knew you couldn't pay him and his contract was coming up, arbitration was over, and the contract was coming up, and you knew you just didn't have enough money to sign him to the contract that he wanted, this might be the kind of trade that you would make and you'd feel okay about. And you go, well, they couldn't keep Devers, and that sucks, but at least they're planning for the future. At least they got some, you know, bullets in the chamber down the road. The reason why that doesn't work now, the reason why no one wants to hear that today, I certainly don't want to hear that today, is because this year was supposed to be the year when that plan shifts over to win now. Now we're trying to win games this year. We sacrificed the wins in 2022 and 23 and last year and 2020, the COVID year, and all these other years. We didn't want to sacrifice wins in the future for wins today. So we did that. We made the sacrifice. And now this year, 2025, the sacrifice is over. And we're not just building for the future anymore. We're trying to win now. We got these three kids coming up through the minors. They're ready to play in the majors. We got a new ace. We got a new closer. We got a new right-handed power bat. Got another starter in the rotation. We loaded up this year, and we're ready to go out there and compete. And then they trade Devers in a move that would make sense if you were a small market team and you just could not afford to keep him. And that is not what the Red Sox are. And that's why Passan's absolutely right when he says that the Red Sox are what a big market team looks like in a funhouse mirror. That's absolutely true. Oh, is that a great line? 617-779-7937. It's your phone number. The Red Sox do play the San Francisco Giants in the first pitch coming your way in about an hour and a half. I'll have you for pregame. Unfortunately, though, the final hour of the show is going to be Red Sox pregame. So instead of the last hour of Arcan, no Dong Report, no nothing like that. Instead, at 9:15, we will hand things over. I'll hand things to myself. Not often you get to do that. Usually it's, I will hand off to Red Sox baseball. Nuh-uh, I'm handing from the right hand to the left hand. And then, boom, Red Sox. San Francisco Giants.
You can do a crossover with yourself.
That's a good idea. Arcan, what'd you think of that Passan interview? Great job, Arcan. Great questions. By the way, that last question, that was a Zach Coe question. When I asked him about what to do with the deadline and how realistic is it that they can replace some of Devers' production, that was a Zach Coe question, and he deserves credit for it. Especially since Passan was like, that's the $800 million credit, whatever he said. He didn't like my taxi question. I thought that was going to be more of a throwaway thing, like, yeah, they were upset with him, and that's why they put him in the cat. That's all I was really going for. It seemed like that was a message back to Devers. That's what it read to, like, to me. Because if you ever, you know, you're leaving, if you're leaving the airport, the cab stand is not, you know, you're in there. You're in there with the masses. Like, that's going from the charter flight out to the cab stand. That's like culture shock for these guys. This guy's a multimillionaire standing waiting for a cab. I don't know. I mean, I thought that was a message. That seemed like a message to me. Maybe I'm wrong, and maybe I completely overreacted to it. I have no idea. But that detail came out a few times. We found out about the cab thing right away, and it was reiterated again by Passan and by Abraham today. They put him in the cab. That's one step up from giving him a Charlie card and saying, yeah, take the train, right? I mean, it's basically there's tiers to getting out of the airport. You got your Silver Line, which is the bottom. Well, I guess the bottom would be like hitchhiking. You could hitchhike out. They didn't tell him to do that. Yeah, stick your thumb out there, Rafi. Good luck. Remember, you want to go left at the split. You go right, you're heading up 93. You stay left, you'll be right at Fenway in no time. Just make sure you don't get picked up by like a serial killer. Yeah, see you later. Good luck. Good luck out in San Francisco. So I guess that would be the worst. But after that, it's giving him a Charlie card. After that, it's a cab stand. And then you got your Ubers. And then you have your private cars, which I would think, I mean, listen, it's the Red Sox, so maybe that's just, you know, maybe it's just the way it is. But I don't know. I thought that was interesting. At the very least, you put them in an Uber, right? Guess not. But at least we had a little laugh. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. When we come back, I want to move off of the Red Sox for one second. I'll continue taking your Red Sox and Devers-related calls, so if you're on the line, hold on. But I want to talk about something that happened in the NL West, which is Rafael Devers' new division. Hatred violence, a rivalry. All the things I miss about baseball in 2025 are happening right now between the Dodgers and the Padres, and we'll get to it next.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day. Yeah?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You're listening to Christian Arcan on WEEI.
The bench is clear. Oh, look at that going out there. Mike Schilt and Dave Roberts trying to get at each other.
All right, so if you missed it, and you maybe did because these games are played late at night, you got to get into the West Coast PST. But there is some beef out west between the Dodgers and the Padres. And it's getting kind of intense. No real brawls yet, but it's the buildup to the, like, you know, the more it goes on, and it's been going on this whole year. The Dodgers have drilled Fernando Tatis like 10 times. Every time they play him, he gets hit. And so now the Padres are striking bad. They're throwing at Otani. He got hit a bunch of times. Suspensions have been handed out, but just real quick, this thing really boiled over yesterday. Shohei Ohtani took a 100-mile-an-hour fastball on the shoulder blade, the bottom half of the ninth on Thursday. And that was the eighth time a batter had been hit in this one series between the Dodgers and the Padres. Ohtani, to his credit, got hit with a pit that was literally 100 miles an hour in his upper back and turned around and was like, I'm fine, everything's fine, everybody relax. In the eighth inning, Tatis took a 93-mile-an-hour fastball to the right hand, second time in the span of 3 days that Tatis and Ohtani had been hit by pitches immediately after each other. More notably for the Padres, it's written on ESPN here, it's marked the fifth time the Dodgers had hit Tatis since the start of the 2024 season, including 3 times in the past 9 days. So it's not 10 times, but it's a lot. Padres manager Mike Schilt walked towards Tatis and yelled in the direction of Dave Roberts. Roberts ran onto the field, shoved Schilt, and then they had to be separated. Both bullpens and dugouts emptied. By the end of the night, two managers, one bench coach, and one pitcher, Suarez, who hit Ohtani, were ejected. Padres won 5-3. Manny Machado said the Dodgers better pray that Tatis is not seriously injured. Machado, they need to set up a little candle for Fernando tomorrow. Hopefully the scans come back negative. That's not a good spot to get hit in. I don't care who it is. I don't care who's on the mound. Tatis wore a bandage on his right hand after the game, and when asked how he was feeling, he said, not good. Initial x-rays inconclusive. I don't know. Was there a CT scan today? Do we know the results?
Yeah, he's fine. He's just good. Sore.
Okay. The Dodgers have hit Tatis 6 times in his career. None of the other 28 teams have hit him more than 4. Last year in the NLDS, the Dodgers had that crazy comeback against the Padres. You remember they were down 3-2, I think, and they won the last two. And then they didn't play this year until this month. And then they played each other a lot. They played each other 7 times in 11 days. And there was a lot of beef on Monday. Andy, how do you say his name? Pajes. Andy Pajes. Looks like Pages, but it's Pajes. Was plunked in the left elbow guard. Yelled at Dylan Cease. Thought maybe the Padres were throwing at him because he was relaying signs on second base. The next night, Tatis was hit by Lou Trevino in the upper back. Top of the third in that game, Ohtani got hit in the right leg. Roberts got ejected because he thought that was retaliation, which it probably was. Thursday, things went to another level. Trevino, who also hit Tatis, led off the game, struck Bryce Johnson in the knee in the 7th inning. 2 batters later, Tatis was brushed back by another Trevino fastball. Tatis got plunked 2 innings later. And this was after Roberts had started putting the scrubs in. They were down 5-0. I think this is great. I don't want guys getting hurt, but I think that this type of anger, this type of beef, has the game been missing it? It really has. And again, I'm not advocating that you just go out and throw at somebody for no reason or that you try and hurt people. But if you got to stand up for your guy, you stand up for your guy. And the Dodgers and the Padres have been going at it. Tatis gets hit all the time. And then the Padres said, well, you know what, Dodgers, how you like this? And they throw at Ohtani. And no one wants to see Ohtani get injured, of course. I mean, listen, we've lost a lot of good years of Ohtani already in his career because of injuries. But he's a superstar on a superstar-studded team. The Padres are trying to get to where the Dodgers are. And this type of thing, I think, could either spark both teams, really. But more than that, it adds another element of intrigue to that team, to that Dodgers team, which, as exciting as they are, as many superstars as they have, is kind of a boring team. You know, like, they have a lot of great players, but I wouldn't say they have a ton of personality. Like, Mookie's probably, you know, like Freddie Freeman and Ohtani and Teoscar Hernandez and all those guys. Like, you know, it's not like they're – Fernando Tatis has more personality than all those guys put together. Same with Machado. In my opinion, I mean, you may disagree, but, like, you know, and I think that this is a way to, I don't want to say a new way to market them, but it's a new way to look at them from a fan perspective and from fans outside of the California area who just think of the Dodgers as this star, you know, team full of guys that all got bought. Well, now here they are, and they're out there making statements and brushing guys back and running out to defend their manager who's shoving other manager. Like, you know, this is good. This is interesting. I don't want the Red Sox to go out and just start throwing at people. But if Rafael Devers gets brushed back tonight, I won't be mad about that. The only thing is, you can't really have a rivalry with the Giants. You know, you play them once. Are they even going to play them again? I don't think so. And then you probably won't see them again for another year and a half. So not the greatest team to try and get in a rivalry with. You do have a couple more games with the Yankees coming up in the second half. It's a nice natural one right there. The Rays and the Jays are right there with you in the wild card, too. Some bad feelings there. Sure, why not? They used to have beef with the Rays. Remember Pedro? Who'd Pedro throw? Gerald something.
Gerald Laird?
It wasn't Gerald Laird. Pedro threw at a guy and he charged the mound. And then, who was it? I can't remember. I'll look it up on the break. 617-779-7937. Paul is in Westfield. Hey, Paul.
Hey, Christian. How are you, bud?
I'm good, Paul. What's up?
It's funny because I was just thinking there's two sides to every story, and then the middle is the truth. I do want to address why they're going after Caden Clark. But I talked about you in California, and remember 3 weeks ago you had started this job mentioning that Devers is non-compliant and he's disruptive, dismissive, and refusing to play team ball. And apparently, according to everyone I've heard that you've talked to, a week before this actual departure where he wouldn't run to the base, he knew. So he was gone, and people forgetting, Wally, that they assumed a $250 million a debt. It was $313. So we had only given him $63 million. And, you know, Jordan Hicks, he's 28. They signed him for about $24 million. He's 1-5, but he does have potential. He's a new starter. And the other basically—
Paul, he was a starter, and then he was not a good starter, and so he got moved. In fact, the guy who's pitching for the Giants tonight is Hayden Birdsong, who was a reliever, and when Hicks got, you know, bounced out of the rotation, Birdsong got moved from the bullpen to the starting rotation to replace Hicks. So Hicks pitched. He was a starter this year, but he was not good, and he pitched his way right out of the rotation and back to the bullpen and then got traded. So I don't know. I mean, yeah, I mean, he was right. A starter. He started before, but I wouldn't say that's like his thing now.
No, sir. He was right. He was a reliever, and then they paid him a lot of money, and he was awful. He was 1-5 with the 6.75 ERA. Yeah, you're exactly right. But Jordan, Christian, when you jokingly said I wouldn't mind seeing him brush back, you're just joking and having fun as an announcer. But when I'm watching on the ESPN, the way they went up and hooked Caitlin Clark, and then her team takes out their player. Why are these women so violent? It's like worse than hockey or men's basketball.
I like that too. What do you want from me? I like that. I like that. First of all, I think that people forget it's a contact sport, okay? And Caitlin Clark is, I remember this happening with Blake Griffin, not to the same extent, obviously, but it's kind of similar. When Blake Griffin first got drafted by the Clippers, just a quick aside here, you remember his rookie year and his first couple of years, he was dunking on everybody and making like a real show of it. He'd go up and dunk on somebody, put his hand on their forehead, rub his nuts all over, you know, like, I mean, it was graphic, these dunks that they were like barbaric dunks that he was doing. And eventually, these guys said, I'm tired of this guy dunking on me. And so he'd go up and dunk, and they'd undercut him, and he'd go flying. They'd foul him about as hard as I've seen anyone ever get fouled. And they did it because he was showing guys up. Caitlin Clark, brash, great player, comes into the league. She's showing girls up. And they're tired of getting shown up, and they're going after. And it's been going on the entire time, really. You know, so I'm not going to deny that. But that's what makes a player great. What are they all supposed to do? You go ahead, Caitlin. I hate when people say that. Oh, she's bringing all this attention and they're still fouling her. Yeah, they're trying to win. They're trying to beat her. Because she's like this icon for the sport, no one should foul her hard ever. She fouls people hard. And I like now that there's an enforcer on her team, because that's what's been missing this whole time. You know, Gretzky had enforcers. You got a player like that, you need to have someone who's going to watch his or her back the entire time. And now they got one. Her name escapes me at the moment. The tall blonde girl, what's her name?
Sophia Cunningham.
Sophia Cunningham. Did you see her the other night? She was right in there. She was like Bill Laimbeer in there. And that's what that team needs. That's what Caitlin Clark needs. She doesn't need the other girls on the other teams, the other women on the other teams to stop fouling her. She needs someone on her team to give them a reason to stop fouling her. And that's what's been lacking this entire time. So, I think part of that is why the WNBA is getting the boost that it's getting right now. That exact thing. Some people hate it, and they're like, I can't believe this. But I think that's good. I came up watching basketball in the 80s. That's the type of basketball I like. I like it physical. 617-779 tonight at Oracle Park, and we'll have it for you all right here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back, and then it's Red Sox time.
Where I think the biggest missed opportunity for the Red Sox is right now, we've seen this with the Dodgers. We've seen this with the Mets. We've seen this with the Yankees, Christian, and we have seen it in the past with the Boston Red Sox. In an uncapped sport like Major League Baseball,
perhaps the greatest advantage is the payroll advantage that large market teams have. And for the Boston Red Sox not to be utilizing that and leveraging that in every way possible is just giving away the biggest advantage that they have.
You're listening to Christian Arcan on WEEI.
Couple of minutes left here, Christian Arcan Show, WEEI. Then we'll head over to San Francisco and hand things over to Red Sox pregame, which will still be me, so I'm handing it over to myself. This is like a crossover with myself right now. That was the voice of Jeff Passan, who very graciously joined me in the show tonight. Talk to him at 8 o'clock. If you missed any of that and want to go back and listen to it, you can go back on the podcast anytime. Just subscribe to the Christian Arcan Show on the Odyssey app or wherever it is that you find your podcast, and that one will be going up everywhere. That'll be up on the app. That'll be up on YouTube. That'll be up all over the place. So social media, all that stuff. So if you want to get it right from the horse's mouth there, a guy who does not like it when you talk down to cabs. Texter says, what, does Jeff Passan come from a long line of cab drivers or something? What was he all bent out of shape about? I don't know. He wasn't really bent out of shape. I think he was joking, but it was funny. Anyways, what he said there, I think, is probably the most central theme of why Red Sox fans are so frustrated and why following this team and rooting for this team has been just such a slog these last 5 years since Mookie got traded, really. Since you want to go back to 2018, it's been, you know, even before that, after they won the World Series, obviously. No one was complaining then. But it wasn't too long after that that the whole direction just shifted. The whole mood changed. The priorities were adjusted. And the Red Sox started doing exactly what Jeff Passan said right there, which is not taking advantage of their vast financial edge. And if you're not going to do that, then you're really seeding a lot of what makes these high-profile, big-market teams so much better than the bad ones. And why you have a ownership group like the, what are they, the Manaforts out there in Colorado? Paul Manafort, I think that's his name.
Yeah, Manafort or Monafort, something like that.
You got them out there in Colorado. They won't do anything. And they're hated in Colorado. I mean, they hate that group. They hate that family. Like, sell the team. You think they're yelling for the Red Sox to sell the team. You know, there's some really bad teams in baseball right now. And the Red Sox aren't one of them, okay? They're not. But you also can't deny that they're only using a small fraction of what could make them and what has in the past made them a powerhouse. And that's just a choice that they're making. They don't have to do that. Just like Steve Cohen and the Mets don't have to overspend, and the Dodgers don't have to spend so much. And they've spent so much that now they're having their players defer all their contract money. I mean, like, they're, you know, you can go a little too far. The Padres spent so much they had to start taking out loans just to pay everybody. Padres went nuts. The Phillies and Dave Dombrowski, they're not sparing any expense. And when I read about other executives, and Passan had those, and we talked about that. When you read about these other executives who are like, wow, great job, Red Sox. You got out from under that awful contract. For teams like the A's, and teams like the White Sox and teams like the Rockets, that's extreme, obviously, but, you know, the Brewers and some of these other teams out there, mid-market teams, that is considered a big victory. That is considered something to be proud of, something to pat yourself on the back for. Well, it didn't make the team any better. In fact, you probably made it worse, and you might have made the fans really upset, but, you know, the important thing is you got out from that $35 million that you were owed to this player who maybe in a few years won't be as good as he is now, which right now he's very good. And if that's the way you want to justify it, then fine. It's a free country, but you got to understand that that's not going to fly. I mean, it's just not going to, it's not going to get people interested in the team. It's not going to make people think that you're invested in the team. It's going to make it seem like you only care about the bottom line and that the Red Sox are just another number on the ledger. And there are teams that operate that way, and their fans are just resigned to it. The Red Sox, at the very least, you can say in the past, have shown a propensity towards doing what they need to do to win. But now they do what they need to do to get under the luxury tax. And that's sad. It's a sad situation. I read about them having internal meetings about how do we get back to the good old days into the 2000s and the 2010s. And it's not just all about spending. It's not just burning money. But it is about having different priorities. And the priorities now, I think, speak for themselves. Red Sox baseball is coming your way next. Do not move. Want to say thanks to Jeff Passan. Great job, Zach Coe. I'm Christian Arcan. This has been the Christian Arcan Show. Don't go anywhere. Red Sox baseball is next.
Dude, I love Boston Radio. You guys are the best.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.